Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
1 week ago in Calgary, it was the end of the world. Gaudreau was gone, Tkachuk wanted out, and then Jonathan Huberdeau appeared? It all changed. Good evening and welcome to an episode of Flames Unfiltered, a summer episode of the show. An off-season that really, honestly, in Calgary, hasn't really been an off-season, has it? It's been jam-packed, man. We're supposed to be golfing and relaxing and going and doing fun things, concerts, summer events, spending time with family, and it has been a crazy summer in Calgary where it's been hockey 24/7, and I don't even think we're done. Are we done? I don't know. It's been a roller coaster. Been a lot of fun, but it's been a roller coaster. I knew this summer was going to be active. I didn't quite realize that it would be this crazy. And did anybody see Jonathan Huberdeau coming to Calgary this summer? I didn't. Emotions are funny. Like, you know, my emotions after the Gaudreau thing was like, you know, we did everything we could. Didn't get to keep him. So now what are we going to do? I mean, what do we do? You know, do we pout about it? Do we worry, or do we get right back at it and figure out what we need to do with Tkachuk so we don't get burned the same way? And I applaud Brad for living, for taking a stance that's like, hey, I got to figure this Tkachuk thing out now before we go down the same damn road that we did with Gaudreau. And yeah, I know, and we'll get into it a little bit later in the show, but I mean, there's some risks involved with this move, but an off season that was spiraling into a disaster, just dumpster fire. Treliving came to the rescue, and now honestly, I have high hopes for this season and seasons beyond. Is you know, the core, it's gone. It is gone. Totally gone. And you know, you fall in love with the guys that are your team. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then I hope we fall in love with Jonathan Huberdeau and keep loving Mangiapane and Tanev and this new group. But, you know, Lindholm and the crew, it's a new crew. And we can't have anybody say anymore that the core in Calgary doesn't win, because the core is gone. Giordano's gone, Tkachuk's gone, Gaudreau's gone. That's the core. They're gone. So now it's time to turn the page in Calgary, and let's turn it in a positive direction. And I have a lot of excitement now for the new season. So on this episode, we'll start with what I think may be one of the biggest NHL trades in the last decade. We'll talk about Matthew Tkachuk being dealt to Florida. We'll discuss the Gaudreau aftermath. And we'll wrap up with some Flames news and a Matthew Tkachuk poll that is very interesting and should be a really good show, an off-season show. And, you know, whether it's the season or the off-season, we appreciate every single one of you for tuning into Flames Unfiltered. We do this because we love Calgary Flames hockey, and it's a hobby that's turned into a little bit more than a hobby, and we have a damn good time with it, and we appreciate the support from all of our listeners. All right, Flames fans. Who saw this one coming? Matthew Tkachuk moved this summer. You know, after the Gaudreau thing, though, we kind of knew it was going to happen, you know. And then all the reports came out that Tkachuk, you know, wanted out and everything, and then the writing was definitely on the wall, and I was like, where do we go with this? This thing looks like it is going much, much faster than any of us anticipated. And then on a Friday night that was as late as, not the latest. Remember the Daryl Sutter hiring? That was late. That was late in the night. But this was pretty crazy, the timing. In the summer, that late on a Friday night, the trade breaks. And I talked about it a little bit on my Flames Unfiltered shorts, and I'll touch on it briefly here. But I was in a situation where I was at a concert with 18,000 people outside, and a storm was rolling through. A pretty vicious storm, so bad that we could see a tornado off in the distance. Now, it obviously didn't hit us, and we were fine, and no rain even hit us, but the storm just missed us. But when you have 18,000 people in a situation like that, they're all on their cell phones, letting family know they're okay, checking the weather, watching the radar, and it just bogged down the cell service, just completely. Completely just shut down the cell service. And I was getting things periodically. And I was getting messages that didn't even make sense. But I knew something big happened in Calgary. And I told my wife, I'm like, man, something just went down in Calgary. Like, we got to go. Like, something's going down here. I need to find out what's going on. And we got out of there, and I got to where cell service was somewhat normal. I saw the move. And when I first saw it, I thought, I thought, is someone pranking me? Is this real? These sources are credible as can be. Like, is this for real? Is it that good? And I know some people in Calgary are arguing that this isn't a good deal because Huberdeau and Uyghur are UFAs at the end of the year. This is a good deal, you guys. This is a really, really good hockey trade. The Flames received Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, Cole Schwint, and a conditional first-round pick in 2025. The Panthers receive Matthew Tkachuk and a conditional fourth-round pick. And Matthew Tkachuk, that ended up being a sign-and-trade, first in NHL history, and Brad Tree even pulled it off. And why they wanted it to be a sign and trade was to get that eighth year. And that cost Florida probably the prospect, I would guess. Maybe the first rounder. Tough saying. But it cost them. So anyways, Tkachuk signs 8 years, $76 million. I don't know. It's all over the board. Most people think that's a fair deal. I don't know. I'm interested to see how Matthew Tkachuk handles that salary pressure. Don't forget, Flames fans, this guy completely disappeared in the Battle of Alberta in the playoffs. Now, I like Matthew Tkachuk. I don't understand why every one of his checks he turns his butt and tries to hit people instead of just driving through people. Matthew Tkachuk can be super effective if somebody pokes the bear. But if you just let Matthew Tkachuk play Matthew Tkachuk hockey and sit on the outside, not as game-breaking as Jonathan Huberdeau is in my mind. I think Jonathan Huberdeau is a blockbuster guy. I mean, 115-point guy last year. He's been a point of player. He's been a... almost every year, you know, for the last five years, he's been over a point a game. He produced fine in the playoffs last year. He was great in the playoffs in 2021. Bigger body, stronger, going to be more physical than Johnny Gaudreau. I'm assuming he'll slot into that spot next to Lindholm with, who knows, on the right-hand side. That's one of the problems. He was a third overall pick in 2011. He's a couple years older than Matthew Tkachuk. He's 29 years. I love Jonathan Huberdeau. I love this move. I do. And on the flip side of it, we get Mackenzie Weegar too, another right-handed defenseman who can play the left side and is Proved himself last year as a top four guy. 44 points in 80 games, 36 and 54 the season before. 6 foot, 200 pounds, mobile, can move the puck. This is a late pick for Florida in 2013, a seventh rounder that just panned out. And he has really, really evolved into a hell of a defenseman. And when I looked at Florida's depth chart last year, I thought they were the deepest team in the National Hockey League. And a lot of it was because of guys like Mackenzie Weegar on the back end that just solidified their blue line for them. I think he's going to be a great fit in Calgary. I do. I really think he's going to be a great fit. An Ottawa native, I don't know. I like that. Cole Schwint, everything I've heard from him has been top end. And a lot of people are saying, like, he might be the secret guy of this trade, the guy that we end up loving the most in the end. You know, I guess that's yet to be determined. But I guess we'll see. Now, here's the problem. And here's where some people in Calgary are saying, well, you know, I don't know if I like this deal because both these guys, the two main pieces of this trade, are UFAs at the end of the year. Yeah, I get it. They are. They're both great hockey players, and that's why we got such a big haul, is because they're UFAs. Is it a lot? If Jonathan Huberdeau signs and we don't get Weegar, it's a win. If Weegar signs and Huberdeau doesn't, it's probably a wash. If neither one of them sign, yeah, we lose the trade. But isn't that the risk you take? Flames fans, you can't forget that we weren't getting Matthew Tkachuk. He was leaving. We were not going to get Matthew Tkachuk. So we had no leverage. There was absolutely no leverage. And when this first came out, you know, the paranoia in Calgary just set in. Just, oh no, these guys are not going to want to re-sign here. Huberto's going to want to sign in Montreal. And Weegar, why would he want to be here? He could be in Florida. They don't have any sales tax there. And it's the Sun Beaches. And Well, Flames fans, did you forget that Blake Coleman, who's from Texas and could have signed with the Dallas Stars, signed in Calgary? No, I know our government shutdowns, and I know our taxes. And the things like that are not working in the favor. And the winters, okay. But 19,000, 18,000 screaming fans, a hockey fan base that knows what's going on and loves this game more than anything, has to weigh out for something. God, if I ever was good enough to play in the National Hockey League, I would want to play in a market where you were loved. These guys in Florida can go to the grocery store. Nobody even knows who they are. Now, I know that would be nice at times, but you only get to go on this merry-go-round for so many years and being a professional athlete. I want to play in a market that just is crazy. Just flat-out crazy about hockey and loves it. Now, when it happened, everybody's like, oh, Huberto must want to come here because he waived his no-trade clause. Well, that's actually not true. He had an 8-team no-trade list. Calgary wasn't on those 8 teams. And some people were like, well, they had to have been Team 9. Well, come on, guys. Let's be a little bit more positive. And let's give Calgary a little bit more credit. You know, Brad Treliving talked about it in his press conference, and he was freaking pissed. He said this pisses him off that Calgary's taken a black eye because Tkachuk and Gaudreau wanted to hit the road, and the media's been extra hard on Calgary. I don't blame them. It pisses me off, too. Is Calgary the best city in the league to live in? Probably not. But it sure as hell isn't the worst, not even close. Is this market hard on their players at times? Yeah. Every year they have a whipping boy. It's Sam Bennett. I can name TJ Brody. I can name some of them. And it sucks if you're them. And most of them were whipping boys probably unfairly at times. Fairly at times, but unfairly by most of the time. But you're in a market that if you work hard and you succeed, you're going to be a god here. Johnny Gaudreau had the world by the tail here. He finishes out his career here. His number goes up to the rafters, and it's a done deal. He's remembered probably more than Jerome McGinley. That's gone. That's gone for Matthew Tkachuk, too. So do Huberdeau and Uyghur really want to be in Calgary? Well, I don't know. In their press conferences, they had this canned response as Huberdeau's was, I'm open to staying in Calgary for a long time. Uyghur was, I'm open to signing a long-term deal. I'm very open to it. I know people can say, well, they had to say that. Gaudreau had to say he didn't want to leave Calgary. I agree. Did get a little pit in my stomach when I saw Alan Walsh was Jonathan Huberdeau's agent. Remember my other Michael Frolik problems? I didn't like that. Huberdeau did say it was a giant shock to him. He wasn't expecting that. He didn't expect the move. And even though it was a huge shock, he was excited to be a Flame. I know those are all canned responses. But you know what? Guys, we haven't had that many players leave. And every market, to some extent, has had that. I know we're soured over the Adam Fox deal. I am. I'm still bent out of shape of that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, we just want players that want to play here, right? We want people who want to be part of the community. People who want to wear the flaming C on their chest. This is a pretty damn good city to live in and to visit. I love going to Calgary. Now, will they sign long-term? I don't know. But I'd probably say with the cap space available, we're probably in one of the better positions in the league to give them what they want. And I don't think Brad Treliving will overpay, but maybe a little bit to solidify both of them. And if he threw out an 8-year 9.5 at Jonathan Huberdeau, which was what I was going to give Johnny Gaudreau, I'd be totally happy because I'd rather have Jonathan Huberdeau than Johnny Gaudreau. He's more consistent. He's more consistent. He kills penalties. He does everything, you guys. So I'm all about giving him that money if that's what he wants. This was a crazy trade. This trade can change this franchise look for the next 5-10 years. And their direction. A couple moves here. We can be a better hockey team than last year. I love our back end right now. I absolutely love it. And on our next show here in a few weeks, we're going to go through that. We're going to go through where the roster's at. And what we need to fill. And kind of our weak spots and our strengths. And just kind of break down that roster. It's going to be interesting to see what happens next year with Monahan, if he goes LTIR. Now, don't forget, next year, we lose Lucic's money and Monahan's money, which is going to leave a ton of money available. I don't know. I don't know that we don't get these signings done. I think they will re-sign here in Calgary. I hope they do. And I hope they both are really successful. And you know what, Flames fans? I kind of like this new Calgary Flames. Johnny Gaudreau. Time to put that to rest, or are we not done talking? I think we're done talking after this. I just had to touch on a couple things. Since our last episode, Johnny Gaudreau penned a tribute letter to the Calgary Flames, the fans and the city of Calgary. I listened to his news conference in Columbus the day after the trade, and I'm not going to lie, I was pissed. That was a crappy talk that he had, and just the way he handled the Calgary portion of it. I'm not going down that road right now. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to drag the city of Calgary through the mud like that and give them hope and then just bolt out of town and not say anything? I don't know. The letter was written in the Players Tribune, and I respect Johnny Gaudreau for doing that. I would have respected him a hell of a lot more if he'd have done it in an interview. And not a spittin' chiclets interview. That kind of, I don't know. After I listened to that, you know what, guys? Go listen to that. I don't listen to every spittin' chiclets because some of them, honestly, they're 3-hour podcasts. They're way too long. But they're top-notch, man. And they're entertaining, and they're just a different approach to hockey. But go listen to the Johnny Gaudreau one for after the trade. I'm not going to lie. It kind of pissed me off as a Flames guy. It did. It kind of pissed me off. And I'm not sure I can pinpoint exactly why it pissed me off, but it pissed me off. So he writes this letter in the Players Tribune. It was pretty heartfelt, I thought. I would guess it's pretty honest. I mean, he doesn't have to be dishonest now. I mean, he can be upfront on why he left and kind of gave us a snippet of why he left, I guess. I don't know if I fully, completely feel comfortable with the way he wrote it all out. But he was somewhat apologetic, and he spoke from his perspective when he was a fan not that long ago. And I'm glad he understands that, and I'm glad he sees that. And I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is a bad guy. And I don't blame him for going where he wants to go. There's nothing more important than family. And if that's the best fit for his family, then so be it. It's really different and contradictory to some of the things he said prior, but it is what it is. And I don't know. The dust is settling now. You know what really made the pain go away was seeing Jonathan Huberdeau's name, right? Because he slots right into where Gaudreau left. And, no, I know it's going to be hard to replace Tkachuk on the right-hand side, but we got another great defenseman, and it really solidifies our back end. It probably gives us an abundance of D-men, and I don't know that we don't see a move with a Valimaki or a Shillington. And we have two holes to fill up front, two, three holes to fill up front, and I don't necessarily hate our roster up there. I think we'll miss Johnny Gaudreau. I'm not going to miss some things about Johnny Gaudreau. I'm going to miss the Johnny Gaudreau from last year. I'm not going to miss the Johnny Gaudreau from years prior to that. I think that the Flames made the best out of a situation that could have been. If we would have lost Tkachuk and Gaudreau and not got much in return for Tkachuk, that would have really, really, really been a black eye. And Treliving salvaged to put together what I pretty much feel like everybody in the whole hockey market has said is a win thus far for the Flames. It'll be interesting seeing a Flames team this year without Johnny Gaudreau. And it'll be really interesting to see Johnny Gaudreau in a Columbus Blue Jackets jersey. And what a lot of people have really talked about this year is who's going to have the best year, Huberdeau, Tkachuk, or Gaudreau? Gaudreau probably playing with Laine, Tkachuk probably playing with Barkov, and Huberdeau playing with Lindholm probably, I would guess. I'm not trying to sound like a homer. If I had throw money down now, I'm throwing her down on Huberdeau. And probably think Tkachuk might have the hardest time keeping up points-wise because I don't want to say last year was a one-off for Tkachuk, but I think the offensive upside of Huberdeau and Gaudreau is stronger than Matthew Tkachuk. Now, I think Matthew Tkachuk brings some other dynamics to the game that the other two probably can't, but as a whole, I think that those two will probably have the higher potential of upside. It's going to be weird without Johnny Gaudreau. It is. But it's the new Flames, right? And as for the people who ripped on Brad Treliving, I really want you to sit back and think about what he was supposed to do with the Gaudreau thing. He offered a ton of money, more than anybody else. He tried signing him in the offseason before last year and didn't have success with it. He couldn't have traded him at deadline because the city of Calgary would have had a riot. His hands were tied. He went for a cup last year, which is what we all wanted him to do. And on the backside, he took the risk of losing Gaudreau for nothing, and that's what happened. But that's not a bad general manager move. I don't know. I don't know what everybody wanted him to do in that situation. But Gaudreau is gone. And I had some rants on this show about Gaudreau frustrations. And I had some rants on this show about how great Johnny Gaudreau was. It was a little all over the place. And last year proved to me that I wanted to re-sign him, but I said $9.5 million was my tops. It didn't happen. Johnny Gaudreau's with the Columbus Blue Jackets now, and it's going to be weird as hell seeing that. But it is what it is. And now it's time to turn the page. And Johnny Gaudreau is not in Calgary, and we don't need to talk about him anymore. All right, Flames fans, time to talk about a little bit of Flames news as we'll roll through it fairly quickly. And we'll make it a little shorter episode in the offseason. You know, we just got to kind of enjoy, you know, life without hockey a little bit. We got to talk about hockey, though. You need our fix, right? Arbitration date. So there was an arbitration date set for Matthew Tkachuk for August 11th. That obviously didn't come to fruition. But there is some other arbitration dates that are coming up here, as Andrew Mangiapane is right around the corner on August 5th, and Oliver Shillington is right around the corner on August 10th. Now, Matthew Phillips had one on July 30th, but prior to that, signed a $750,000 deal with the Calgary Flames to remain a Stockton Heat at this point in time. The Flames also signed Ben Jones on a one-year, two-way deal for $750,000. You might remember him with a few games with the Vegas Golden Knights. A Flame that signed elsewhere, Cale Yarncrook signs with the Toronto Maple Leafs, a four-year deal, $2.1 million per year. As I liked that move. We gave up a little bit for him. I thought it was a great move down the stretch. Did it pan out? Probably not as much as any of us hoped and wished. I don't think it was a horrible move, though. I thought he was effective for us. Yarncrook just lacked the points that we needed and that we expected out of him. Hated to see him go. I thought he might maybe be someone we re-sign this year, but directions take him elsewhere, and he heads to Toronto to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. Now, as far as American Hockey League team, as we know, the Stockton Heat moved to Calgary this year. They're going to be part of the Pacific Division, which I'll read through the teams here. It's going to be the Abbotsford Canucks, the Bakersfield Condors, the Coachella Firebirds, and the Colorado Eagles, the Henderson Silver Knights, the Ontario Reign, San Diego Gulls, San Jose Barracuda, and the Tucson Roadrunners. The Calgary name has not been released yet, and I'm assuming that we're going to hear news on that. Jeez, I would expect sooner than later. I haven't heard any rumblings on it, but I haven't really been paying attention and looking for that news. But I'm expecting that we're going to get a name soon. I would expect we stick with the Heat. I think that fit really well. But probably New Jersey's, obviously New Jersey's, and a new name announced soon as the AHL franchise starts Sunday, October 16th versus Coachella Valley. And that will be interesting. And yeah, having an AHL team in Calgary, it's going to be a little bit different. But all in all, for the franchise, I think a very, very strong move.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, time to talk about a Facebook poll. I often do this. I always go on my Flames Hub, where I'm part of other Flames Facebook groups too, but Flames Hub tends to be the one I pan to first, I guess. But Calgary Flames fans, there's a whole bunch of them that are really, really good. And I've met some really nice Thanks to Flames fans on there. And I encourage all of you guys to check those out. I posed a Facebook poll on Flames Hub. Got another strong response, almost 200 votes. Very interesting. And my poll question was, what will the Flames remember Matthew Tkachuk? What will Flames fans remember Matthew Tkachuk for? I came up with four topics. The Muzzin puck flip controversy. His feud with Drew Doughty, which was front page news for a long, long time. And kind of gave Matthew Tkachuk that bad guy persona, didn't it? That's kind of what it did, what the first one that really brought it. His buzzer beater shot between the legs in Nashville? That was one of the most fantastic goals that Flames fans have ever witnessed. Or is it the Zach Cassian, Edmonton Oilers hits, brawls, and kind of the reigniting of the Battle of Alberta? And almost 200 people responded. And two of them, it surprised me a little bit. The two that were the lowest, 1% for each of the two, the Muzzin puck flip didn't surprise me, and the Drew Doughty feud, 1%. And I thought the Drew Doughty feud was really when, kind of was what made Matthew Tkachuk. It was kind of what, what gave him that bad guy image, you know? In second place, with 32% of the votes, was the between the legs buzzer beater in Nashville. And 66% of the polled people said that the Zach Cassian feud fights, the ignition of the Battle of Alberta again, and the big brawl and everything involved in that whole, what do you call it, a mess, right? But it was exciting. And you know what? All in all, it did bring back the Battle of Alberta, and it brought it to a different level than we were used to. And I'm going to probably remember the Doughty thing the most, because that's what started it all. But I'll have fond memories of Matthew Tkachuk. I'm a little bitter right now, I'm not going to lie, but I think all in all, he was a great player in Calgary and handled himself very well in the media and the community. And I got a lot of respect for him. I thought how he handled his decision to go out of Calgary was about as mature and good as we could possibly ask for. And although disappointing, something I think we can live with as Flames fans. It sure as hell made it a little easier when we saw Huberto and Uyghur and a first rounder. And wow, the return just made it a whole lot easier, didn't it, Flames fans? All right. Well, that was a shorter episode than we're used to. Usually run these about 45 minutes. Yeah, we'll give you a little break in the summer here, you know. Check us out. Anytime there's breaking Flames news, you're going to be able to check us out on Flames Unfiltered Shorts as well. We'll break down the move or happenings in Calgary and talk about it on Flames Unfiltered Shorts. We have another episode coming out here later on in August. I believe it's like the second week of August. We'll probably have our next show. What else was I going to talk about? Oh, Eric Francis. Yeah. You know, a lot of you guys hate on Eric Francis, and I have my moments where I'm not an Eric Francis fan, but there's moments I am an Eric Francis fan. But I will tell you guys, we probably better not bitch too hard, because he was right on the Gaudreau thing, and he was right on the Tkachuk thing. And I know that's a little hard to swallow, but he was right. Right? He was right. The summer in Calgary, this has been an offseason we're never, ever going to forget, probably. Take a little break from Flames hockey. We're back next month. Kind of a little reset here now, and I guess that's okay. We'll get some things planned for starting in September. We have some huge plans for the show, some changes being made, some major improvements, and we're really excited for season. Is it going to be season five? Four or five for the show? I think it's four. But man, it's been a ride, hasn't it? Started with just audio shows, and now we've gone to audio and video, and yeah, I don't know. You can check out all the back episode on flamesunfiltered.com, and yeah, please enjoy the off season. We're going to be back late August with another episode of Flames Unfiltered. We'll go through that roster, hopefully have a guest on the show. Flames Unfiltered Shorts will keep you updated as we go through the off season with Flames hockey talk, and before you know it, we're going to be back in the rinks watching the Flames play, watching our juniors teams play, and having a little fun with the sport we love. Have a great summer, Flames fans, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.